We are preparing for Matan Torah, Haba Aleinu Latova, our holiday of Shavuos, which is upcoming. So we are going to take a break from our regularly scheduled Limud to focus on the concept of Talmud Torah, to which we are devoting ourselves every single week with this Chabura, so Yashar Koach. And you saw, hopefully you saw the beginning, the background of this is in the core sugya appearing in Maseches Kiddushin, where the Gemara has a specific set of mitzvos which are gender differentiated, and the Gemara had a drasha to tell us on Chaf Tes Amud Beis, a series of drashas to explain that women are not obligated in Limud HaTorah. Women are not obligated formally in the requirement of Talmud Torah, and the Gemara had a drasha from, you saw this before, V'limadatem ulamadatem, the interconnected drasha of to whom you are obligated to teach, and then who is obligated to learn. So if someone is obligated to teach you, then you are obligated to learn, but if they're not obligated to teach you, then you are not obligated to learn. And since it says V'limadatem, the obligation is osam as b'neichem, so it's incumbent upon boys, men, so therefore they are also responsible to learn for themselves. That's the background of our discussion. You saw the sugya in the Gemara. Great. So what I'd like to focus on just for a few minutes is the page on the right side, the comment in the Shulchan Aruch, which is very, very problematic, where the Shulchan Aruch rules, Nashim Mevarchus Birchus HaTorah. Women recite Birchas HaTorah. Why is that so problematic? Why is that so surprising?
If they're not mechuyavos, then they shouldn't be making a bracha.
If they are not mechuyavos, Rani's saying they should not be reciting a bracha. Why not?
Asher kedushanu.
Very good. So now, you might say to me, wait a minute, I've been in shul many times, and I've seen that women recite brachas on lots of things that are not obligated, like Kriya Shema, a mitzvah which is time-bound, or let's say your mother or wife or sister recites a bracha on sitting in the sukkah, or Netilas Lulav. That's because, in this room, we are Ashkenazim. So Ashkenazim, we have the practice that we recite brachas even on voluntary mitzvahs. So okay, if you're Ashkenazi, that's not a problem. But what is the problem? The Shulchan Aruch follows the Shitas HaRambam. That's it. So we saw, I don't know if you saw on the last page that Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis, that last Rambam, where the Rambam told us in Hilchos Tzitzis that Noshim Va'avonim K'tanim P'tur Minat Tzitzis Minat Torah, and Noshim Va'avonim Shirotzel Esadim Tzitzis Misatfim below Bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch, who follows the Rambam, on the one hand, knows and instructs, and Rav Avadya has a tshuva about this for women in terms of Sephardic women, what they do for davening. They don't recite brachas on time-bound mitzvos. And yet, when it comes to Birchas HaTorah, they do. This conundrum, it mamish kept Achronim up late at night. This is a very, very big problem. Many commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch attempted to take a crack at this problem. So one suggestion was, well, we know the Ramah is of the opinion that women are obligated to learn all the sections of Torah that are pertinent to them in terms of observing and practicing. So you can learn in Kol for 50 years and not finish all those halachos. That's a very, very vast corpus of knowledge. Think about it. Shabbos, brachos, yoredeya, hilchos nida. Like, you have a ton. You could be a very, very big Talmud Chacham and not finish all of those inyanim, be'omek uverochav. So maybe that's why they recite Berachos HaTorah. But it's difficult because then It's not so clear that you should recite a Birchas HaTorah on that kind of learning. Why not? What did I just describe? What kind of learning was that? What's the purpose of that, Limud?
The practice.
That's right. It's just to prepare you to know what to do. You know what we call that? We call that a Hechsher Mitzvah, a preparatory mitzvah. Do you make a bracha on building a sukkah?
No, that's a Hechsher mission.
Exactly. Exactly. So now, there was one opinion in the Gemara, there's a big discussion we've shown him that we should make a bracha on the Hechsher Mitzvah, but we don't paskin like that. So perhaps even if women are obligated in the chelik of Talmud Torah, which is enabling them to fulfill the mitzvos, but maybe you shouldn't recite a bracha on that, because that's similar to, or it could be viewed as similar to, that's right, a heksha mitzvah. So this comment that Nashi Mevarchos Birchas HaTorah is very, very challenging. It's very hard to understand. Let's take a step back to a totally different area of learning. Amar Reb Shimon ben Pasi. Reb Shimon ben Pasi says, Minayin she'ein ha-metargim rashai lahagbia kolo yosem ha-korei. How do you know that a person who translates, meaning in the old days they used to have a reader, what we call today a balkore, and we had a makri, a metargim, a translator who explained it in Aramaic to the community. So he's not allowed to raise his voice yoser menakore, louder than the person who's reading the Torah. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, Moshe yedaber v'elokim ya'anenu b'kol. Moshe spoke, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu ya'anenu, so the word la'anos means, it could mean to announce, it could mean to declare, and it could mean to respond. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded b'kol, with voice. What do you mean? He responded with voice. B'kol means b'kolo shel Moshe, says the Gemara. With Moshe's voice, with the same volume level. Tanya Nami Achim, you have a brisa that you're not allowed to raise your voice as a metargim more than the korei. Not only that, the brisa now adds, v'im efshar, if it's impossible, l'metargim lagbia kolu kenegra korei, the korei is going to speak so loud, the metargim can't keep up. So what does he do? Yemayich hakorei kolo v'yikra. Tone it down as the Baal Kore. It's a beautiful Gemara that the Kore, the Torah reader, and the translator, they have to be on the same wavelength. So the question is, why? What is the significance of the fact that the reader and the announcer have to be at the same level?
It's one of the
other. Okay, option A, they're not distracting.
Translation is an
effect. So maybe there's an issue that the translation is going to be perceived as more important. Okay? So,
good.
So, the Taina against Dr. Blivis, you're not going to take it personally, right?
No.
It's not you. The Taina against this part, which obviously is, that's like the first, that's the great shot, the first shot that comes to mind, is that they're alternating. They're going to take turns. So why should I care that one is going to be louder and he's not going to outshout the other one because they take turns? And then to Nathan's point, you can say, wait a second. It's true, that would make sense if it was one directional, that the Targum shouldn't be louder than the Kriya. But the Gemara is saying that if the Kriya is louder, then that's also not good. You have to drop it down. Why do you have to drop it down? Which is Ikar? The Kriya? Or the Targum?
Well, Kriya should be.
You would think. So let the guy lane as loud as he wants. And so the Metargim doesn't read as loud. What's the big inyan that the Metargim and the Kore have to, you hear that? It's not so simple.
Kriya without understanding is not.
Okay. So maybe it's a lack of understanding, but it sounds more like there has to be some kind of parity between the two. It sounds like, let's say everybody in the shul can hear it, but the Baal Kori is really loud, super loud, and the Mitar game is basic. Everyone can hear. So maybe it's Torah Shabbat Chassab, maybe it's Torah Shabbat Peh. Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, has a sensational understanding of this Gemara, which we can appreciate in light of thinking about what we call Brisker Lumdus. We alluded to this once earlier on in the year, where we talked about the idea that in Brisk, you could take a concept and parse out different elements of that concept. So perhaps we actually can parse out two dimensions of learning. What are we doing right now? What is our experience right now?
We're learning Torah.
Exactly. So one element of Limud HaTorah is the consistency the intellectual, the thought, the process of building your, what we could call, yediyas haTorah, your knowledge of Torah. You learn one Mishnayos, then another Mishnah from the Mishnayos. Turn around, you have a whole Perek Mishnayos, then you add a Pasuk in Tanakh, you add a Perek, you have a Sefer. You accumulate knowledge. The Dvar Hashem is now stored as you build that repository of information. That's one aspect of Talmud Torah. And this is what, actually, the Halakha of Reb Nachman Mibreslav, Reb Nachman quotes this, every Jew is under a great obligation to study daily a portion of the halachic codes. Should learn halacha every day. Kol hashona halachos b'chol yom muftach lo shu ben olam haba. It's the bottom, number three. This should never be skipped, not even during an emergency, such as one is busy traveling. The least one should do in such an event is to learn a single paragraph in the Shulchan Aruch where he can. Not necessarily at the place where he's up to in his entire regular study. Just every day, you should make sure, not a single day, quote, where there are no emergencies, one should study in an orderly sequence all four parts of Shulchan Aruch until he's completed them. Afterwards, he should start again from the beginning and repeat the same orderly cycle. But if you can't, chop one piece of Shulchan Aruch, wherever you are, just to keep the consistency of the limud, and specifically the limud of halacha. This tells you what to do. It builds your information. This is why it's so important to learn halacha lemaisa, la'asuki shmaitza, alibi dehilchasa, because if a person, like the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa writes, based on Mishnah Berurim writes this, if a person doesn't study Hilchas Shabbos, how are they going to properly observe the laws of Shabbos? So one dimension of learning is this element of acquiring information. And it's not just acquiring information so that you can observe, it's because through that acquiring information, you are fulfilling this obligation of the limit of Kol Torah Kula. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Talmud Torah, he gives you all the contours of what it means to learn Kol Torah Kula. So that's one dimension. That's learning as it relates to absorbing information. That's one aspect of one kiyum of Talmud Torah. But then there's another kiyum of Talmud Torah, another expression or a dimension of Limud HaTorah. And this is described by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in an interview that he did. The book is called Mevakshe Ponecha. It's a series of conversations that he had with Rav Chaim Sabato. So he says, you know what I want to describe to you? The experience of learning Torah. Hachavaya hadatit shel ha'osek b'Torah. The religious experience of learning. He says, Ani chai, I live b'tchusha, with a feeling, shemibchinati, from my perspective, hargosha sakesher im HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my connection with Hashem, amina yoser, it is more true, virialis yoser, it's more real, yosemi kol dover achar sheni achol lachshov alav, more than anything else that I can think of. What is that? What is that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's a feeling. Look at the bottom paragraph. And kishem shenachon adavar. Just like I have that feeling, that connection, lezika sheli HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to my connection to Hashem, kein nachon hu gam beyachas. It's also true, related, lezika sheli, to my connection, laTorah. To Torah. HaTorah. Torah. Dvar Hashemi. Lefichach, therefore, hamaga sheliba Torah. When I encounter learning Torah, humaga akif im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is a sort of circumspect. It is a roundabout way that I am literally encountering Hashem. It's not that you are acquiring knowledge. It's not that you are amassing information. It's that you are immersing yourself in godliness. This is what the Bala Tanya writes in the Tanya, that there's something uniquely distinct about the mitzvah of Limud Torah, which is different than other mitzvahs. Other mitzvahs, let's say you take four species, you carry them in your hand. That's external to you, as opposed to your mind. Your mind becomes immersed in this spiritual experience when you think about learning. You could argue that these are two dinim, two dimensions in the world of Torah learning. And that's why on the top of your page on the left, I put a fantastic picture of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Because Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was the great expositor of this idea that you can find two dinim. So now, based on this idea, does anybody want to think about suggesting what might be a reason that women recite Birchas HaTorah?
Because they also want to experience this connection
again. Oh.
The author did.
Did you read the Brisker Rav on the next page? You did not.
The woman often but didn't do the egg olavacha.
That's true. That's true.
Kind of mirrored off the Rebbe.
So now, Mr. Block, he wants us to read the Brisker Rav, so that we can appreciate exactly what's going on. This Brisker Rav, Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik, is quoting his father, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. That's the man pictured on the top, on the front page. Now it's on the back page. So the Brisker Rav in Hilchos Brachos, so he dies in the 1950s. Rabbi Chaim died in 1930-something, I forget when. But he the Brisker Rav, was the chief, or one of the chief disciples of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. So in his comments, the Brisker Rav's, Rabbi Yitzchak Zev, Rabbi Velvel's comments on the Rambam, he cites what he heard from his father. And look how he describes it. First, he quotes the question that we've been dealing with. Now you go down, you see the first word on the line is mipi, six lines down. He says, I heard a pshat, mipi, aleph memvav resh, Adoni avi mori virabi, my father, my master, hagon hachosid, the genius, the pious, zecher tzadik v'kodosh levracha l'chai olam abba. That's how he related to his father. He says, I heard from my father, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Sha'amar, the bebirchas ha-Torah, the bracha of Torah, ein ha-bracha al kiyum ha-mitzvah shel Talmud Torah. It doesn't relate to the formal compliance with the law and commandment to study Torah. Rak tuhu din bifnei atzmo. It's an independent halacha that what? De Torah bo'i bracha. That Torah generates the requirement for a bracha. How does he know that? The Gemara says in brachas from a pasuk, the pasuk says, quote, Kishem Hashem Akra Havu Godel Elokeinu, when I call out in the name of God, let us bring glory. Kishem Hashem Akra, when I call the name of God, Ramban says, Kol HaTorah Kula, that is the name of Hashem, the expression of godliness. So when I say Torah, Havu Godel Elokeinu, we should praise Hashem. This is one of the two brachos which are biblical. So the Gemara derives that the bracha of Torah is from this pasuk, says the Brisker Rav. What does that sound like? It doesn't sound like it's a bracha on a formal fulfillment of an obligation. It's Kishem Hashem Ekra. When I call the name of God, there's a response. There's a reaction. What happens when you learn the Dvar Hashem? You're going to say a bracha. V'im kein ein zed din shayach la mitzvah klal. It's not related to the fact that there is a formal mitzvah to study Torah. Rak to Torah atzma to una bracha. The Torah itself requires a bracha. V'nashim pturos rak me ha-mitzvah shal b'talmud Torah. The women are pater from Talmud Torah as a mitzvah. Aval einon mufkos me'etzem ha-cheftah shal Talmud Torah. But they are not disconnected to the experience of Talmud Torah. And in light of what we said from Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, this makes a lot of sense. If you understand that there are two dimensions of learning, there is the formal obligation to sit down and learn, and then there is the experience of engaging with the, so to speak, the actual essence of Hashem, which was manifest through the revelation of Har Sinai. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Ana, Aleph, I, Nafsha, Nun, myself, my essence, Ksivas, Chav, Yehivas, I gave it to you. Anochi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I gave my essence to you. If a person encounters the Ribbono Shel Olam through Torah, they obviously, they have that experience, So they're going to mark it, they're going to herald it with a Birchas HaTorah. So what's the answer to why women recite Birchas HaTorah? According to Rab Chaim, says Rab Elbo, it's because even though women are not obligated in the formal mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but they have the requirement, they have the Kishem Hashem Ekra, and that they experience also. It's because what Rab Chaim does is identify two different dimensions of Talmud Torah. Now we're explaining it conceptually with a little bit of nofach mishalonu, but that's the core that Rab Chaim essentially is telling us, that there are two dimensions of Talmud Torah. There's the learning, the formal compliance, and then there's the experience. So maybe we can now shtel to Rav Kook to explain the Gemara in Brachos. Says Rav Kook, this is in his commentary called Ein Ayah. He says, Hamatargim, second line, you see there? Hamatargim. What is the role of the Matargim, the translator? She yesod tikon hatargum, whom he pa'as hayadiya. That relates to the part of learning, which is about knowledge. Why does he translate it? So that you can understand what's going on. Lo yagbia korlo yoser minakore. He should not be louder than the person who's reading. Levili lahadiv koach hayedia, so that you do not prioritize the knowledge al hasegula, onto the treasured quality of Torah. And similarly, two lines later, hakore, the person who's reading the Torah, who has the experience of holding the Atzei Chaim and seeing the ink that was put there by a sofer with Kedushas HaAskaros, and it's a Chefza Shel Kisvei HaKodesh, that experience, Shelo Yagbia Kolo Yosem HaMetargim, he shouldn't raise his voice louder than the person who's translating, Shelo Levatel Gamkein Erech HaYedia Legabe HaSegula, that you should not say that the segula of the Torah is more important than the yediyah. What is Rav Kook saying? He's saying to us, there are two dinim in Talmud Torah. There is the knowledge, maybe what Rav Chaim would say is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and then there's the segula, the treasure, the experience of learning. What's the message of this Gemara? Rav Kook, he reads beneath the surface, he looks at the heart of this Gemara, and he says, you see, they have to be treated equally. It's not that one takes priority over the other. They both need to work in harmony. And so much so, he says, that there's a chiddush, that if it's impossible for the Matargim to raise his voice up, if the people in the community who are at the level where they are, they're trying to grasp, but they are not yet at the level of the Korei, of experiencing the segula. So instead of telling them, you know what, you don't have a chelek in Torah, you're not there yet, you know what we tell the Korei, says Rav Kook, the biggest kiddush of this piece? Take it down a notch. Ah, it's Erech HaSkuli, it doesn't matter. We've got to make sure that we reach the people where they are, even if they're only at the level of the Matargim, make sure that it doesn't go beyond them. Even if you have to be man michtakol. Why? Eis l'asas l'Hashem. Sometimes you have to do that for the benefit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that every person gets both. Every person who's studying Torah needs to have both the mitzvah, the understanding, the formal cognitive process, and they also have to feel like this is their personal maga with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we, at our level, are learning Torah, we're also connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On our level, not necessarily Rav Lichtenstein's level that he described, but on our own level, that we have that experience of the Chefza Shel Torah to Una Bracha. Like the Baal Tanya said, that our minds are connected to something higher, to something deeper, something transcendent. And in that way, hopefully, we can appreciate the Liman HaTorah that we do on Shavuos to, number one, build our Yediya, our Metargim, our understanding, and also to build our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to build that experiential feeling of being connected to the Dvar Hashem and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself.